Before we get started on the show today, we have to take a second to just mention the passing of Shad Gaspar at the age of 39 years old. Any memories of Shad? I know you were telling me that you actually met him at a mall.
I met him at a local mall with JTG and the Boogeyman.
And what a crew.
Wasn't educated. I was a kid, so I wasn't an educated wrestling fan yet, but he was a really nice guy and died a hero.
Yeah. So. The Crime Time gimmick was stereotypical, but they for better or worse, they embraced it. They put everything they had into it, and they had a pretty good run.
Yeah, they had a great run. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, 06, and they broke up in 2010, and yeah. JTG stayed with the company another 4 years till 2014.
Which is just, and he was off TV the entire time.
Yeah. But like you said, the circumstances surrounding Shad's death, if you haven't heard the story by now, he was swimming with his son in Venice, and a riptide came, and the lifeguard came out to save Shad, and he basically said, "No, save my son." And he sacrificed himself for his son.
He's one of those guys you never heard a bad word about.
Yeah, that's...
He said Roman Reigns, he had Roman Reigns' first match.
FCW TV.
FCW TV. He was working on a lot of short stories. He got his comic book published. And just a tragedy for his family. And those rip currents, man, they're no joke. I mean, look at that guy.
He's 6'7".
He's 6'7", you know.
260.
Just pure muscle. I got caught in one once, and I was scared. And let alone, I can't imagine what a 10-year-old was doing and what's going through his head. Did they confirm that was his body?
Yeah.
Confirm? I said it was matching. Lester said it was matching description.
Well, that's the thing. Well, Dave was talking about why WWE didn't say anything about it on Raw. Because they didn't want to say anything until, you know, they didn't want to, you know, which makes sense. Yeah,
I'm sure 250,000 people have a problem with, but...
I mean, we're not here to do that
right now. We're not here to do that right now, but that's the right way to handle it.
The NXT put up a nice little graphic at the beginning of Wednesday's show, and AEW Jim Ross talked about him. So it was nice in both companies. Like you said, no one has said a bad word about the guy. He's just one of those guys, it seems like.
They were posting old Crime Time clips. And those guys were fucking hysterical.
Yeah, and like when you
see the clip where they stole King's laptop?
Yes.
It's outstanding.
Fucking walking with a laptop behind his fucking back.
JTG was teaching JR and King how to bro shake, and Shad just walks off with a laptop. And King just paid it off, he said.
I love the idea of King putting a MacBook on a fucking payment plan. But yeah, and especially, like, when you're a kid, you didn't understand all of the jokes that Crime Time were making. And now you do, and it's... I mean, they sold Lita's fucking panties in her last night in the company. So that was...
those guys were great. And you know what? I had a real big feeling they were on their way back.
That was the rumor.
That was rumor for a couple years. And I would like to see that.
If you believe a video, there's also going to be a blue cane in that same video that rumor is from.
I've heard that before there, though.
I know, so have I, but I'm just...
Yeah, there was also Big Cass's blue cane.
But Shad was a beacon of light in this sometimes otherwise dark world, and he will certainly be missed. And his legacy will live on through his tag team partner and his son. And yeah, rest in peace, Shad Gaspar. Gone entirely way too soon, and
rest easy, brother.
Yeah, this one hit hard.
And you wouldn't think it would, you know, until it did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's...
He's not exactly the Undertaker, but
so many guys in the wrestling business have some sort of baggage on them, but nobody said a bad word about Shad.
Not a single person.
And everybody had great things to say.
When I heard the story, I just take a step back and appreciate what you got.
Yeah, the story is the most heartbreaking part, because he could have still been with us today, but he made the ultimate sacrifice so his 10-year-old son could live a full life. And if that's not admirable, I don't know what it is.
Died a hero. Rest in peace, brother.
Yeah. So.
So.
The show is dedicated to the memory of Shad Gaspar. So, let's hit the music and have some fun.
The fuck is in this match?
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought I was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
garbage.
The pandemic keeps rolling on. It stops for no man. So, what's going on? New and exciting in your life?
Absolutely nothing. Been hiking, been fishing. Did a little bit of golfing.
Don't take offense to this. That's shocking.
Why?
Coming from you. You don't seem like the hiker and fisher. Well, you do know. You're a fisher, but you don't seem like the hiker.
I'm a fisher. I'm a fucking bird. Or a Derek.
You're a Jeff.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, I do lose as many fish as I catch, so.
Dude, his career is fascinating. He's tied for the most losses in NFL history, but he's also in top 10 in wins. That's such a fascinating career.
It is. It's unbelievable. We went like 8-8 or 9-7 or 7-9 like every year of his career.
Yes.
He never had a 10-win season or a 6-win season.
I think the year the Titans went to the Super Bowl, they won 11 games or something.
They were a wild card team, I believe, didn't they?
They were, yeah.
Because that was the
Music City Miracle.
Music City Miracle. And then whichmacallit got stopped at the 1-yard line.
Yeah. Kevin Dyson. Mike Jones made the tackle. Mike Jones!
Who?
Mike Jones!
Who?
Not that Mike Jones. I wish it was that.
Not Virgil. I believe that's his name as well.
I think you're right. Also not Virgil. Although, that'd be impressive if what the fuck? How do we even get on? Jeff Fisher.
Because he said you were fishing. Yeah, I've been doing some fishing, golfing, kind of losing interest in everything, you know? I watch these shows, and I like them, but it's just...
Yeah,
it's not the same feeling.
This pandemic is, like, legitimately sucking the life out of me. Like, all the things I enjoy, I'm, like, not... Like, I haven't turned my Xbox on in like a month.
We'd be heading to a Sixers Celtics and Eastern Conference Final right now.
Well, no, because we'd be playing in the first round.
That's what you think.
That's what the records indicate.
We would have gotten the fourth. I guarantee we would have gotten the fourth.
I think we ended up getting the second. To be honest, we would have passed Toronto.
Yeah, we would have gotten a fourth. We just hit a spell. And we would hate each other for a week, so maybe this is good.
Speaking of Toronto, I want to get back to Toronto so bad. I know I texted you that out of nowhere, but I was just like, I was going through my phone, doing some spring cleaning on some photography that I feel like I no longer need, and I got to Toronto, and my God, what a city. I love Toronto.
You'd be a Canadian hero, much more than Bret Hart would be.
You know what? Two of my favorite cities I've ever been in are both in Canada. Maybe I'm in the wrong country.
Montreal.
I love Montreal, dude.
Montreal and
Toronto. Did I ever tell you about the tacos I had in Montreal?
Yes, several times.
They're the best tacos in my life I've ever had.
You met Dave Meltzer as well.
It looked just like him. I don't know why.
Well, then you eventually did meet Dave Meltzer.
I actually, you know what I did? I didn't even think about that.
He was in a fucking tight-ass Los Ingobernables shirt.
He was. I was...
Talking to Abner. And he was
I was stoned out of my mind. Like, if you look at that picture...
I mean, you were Nolans.
I was the definition of zooted.
You were... Crawfish and shit.
But
that's not what we're here to talk about.
But no, I gotta talk about these fucking tacos.
Oh, tell me about the goddamn tacos, will you?
Like, dude, they're the best tacos I've ever had in my life. In Montreal, in Chinatown.
You didn't get poutine?
Oh, of course I got poutine.
I like poutine.
Dude, but think about this. Tacos in Chinatown in Montreal. That's some Inception shit. Yeah. That's France in China in Mexico.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yep. It's actually pretty incredible.
You took the language of love in high school. Actually, that's Italian, but French is a romantic.
I know a little bit of Italian, too, just from growing up Italian.
French is a romantic language. Why haven't you been to Montreal?
I haven't been to Canada. I'm terrified to go to Canada.
She came to SummerSlam last year. It was a good time.
I don't have the vacation.
Dude, just... You see, I make moves. I make shit happen.
Yes, but it's a different situation. There's literally somebody that could work for you if you don't. There's not somebody that could work for me.
There isn't always something that works for me. I just make shit happen.
Yeah, but my company's stupid that I currently don't work for.
I was going to say, hey, you got all the time in the world now,
I guarantee, like, they'll call me back. We're on our way back from SummerSlam. You're coming in!
Yes, I don't even know if SummerSlam's going to happen. I don't know what's going on in life.
Neither do I.
But let's tell people why they should be using Anchor if they want to be podcasters themselves. Then let's get into what we got to talk about today.
A ratings discussion?
First off, I have to publicly commend you because... Due to my work situation and your lack of work situation, you've kind of taken the role of social media guy. And for the most part, besides spelling Killian Dane's name wrong, you've been doing a fantastic job.
I'm always an awful speller. But, yeah, no, I like my Twitter. I mean, I did study PR in college, so it was kind of... I kind of took 4 years of Twitter in college, but...
Yeah, and you're in your lack of employment, you've taken on a bigger role. You're the producer now. I gave you that role.
Yep.
And now you're a social media guy.
Yep. I mean, that was always my goal anyway.
Well, you better go out and find a way to make us money, because I'm not paying you.
That's true. You pay me with your friendship. But we're talking about a little bit of our ratings discussion because we found some numbers that are staggering. And
we're going full blown with this shit.
Rod didn't go up or down. I mean, we can mention it a little.
Okay.
And a little bit of a Dark Side of the Ring recap and some news regarding.
You can eat your words, baby.
I'm not gonna eat my words. I will eat some of my words, but not the whole meal. My words. I took my apple cider pill earlier, so my appetite is a little smaller. So coming up next,
I think you should take a shot of apple cider vinegar.
Because it's disgusting. I took a pill. That just tastes like apple cider vinegar anyway. So
it's the fuck.
I thought it'd do it without the taste. I lied. It was lied to me. I felt lied to.
All right. Well, if you don't want to feel lied to, stick around and listen to us tell you about Anchor. So we have become a ratings show.
Unfortunately.
But
not in the way that people think. We are a trying to explain the ratings show.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, we don't care because I don't think it matters. Don't put your glasses on. I can see myself in them.
Was that a bad thing?
But what do you got?
This week's Raw drew an average of 1.757 million viewers. That is down from last week's 1.919 and is the second lowest viewership in the history of Monday Night Raw. The only show with lower viewership was the May 4th episode from a few weeks ago, which drew 1.686 viewers, which still appears to be the floor for now. The first hour, 1.818 million. The last week's hour one was 1.99 in comparison. Second hour was 1.810 million. Last week's second hour was 1.961. And then the real backbreaker, the third hour, 1.644. Last week's hour three was 1.802. So I think what we learned from this was Baron Corbin, not a draw.
Most people are lying.
And the real thing I want to talk about has nothing really to do with the Raw ratings. If you listen last week, you know I said I had a hypothesis about people missing sports and why wrestling ratings are down so much in the pandemic. Well, I am man enough to admit when I am wrong. I was wrong as fuck. Because NASCAR's return in Darlington Sunday afternoon did a staggering 6.3 million viewers. It was the most watched sporting event since the Daytona 500 in February.
It was also the only sporting event since the Daytona 500 in February.
Daytona 500 was the second week of February. So there was like
two weeks of basketball.
Well, basketball ended like March 11th. So they had the rest of February and the beginning of March. So it was like a month.
I think basketball ended March 5th.
Basketball, no, because we went to Elimination Chamber March 8th.
And that was the following Wednesday.
The following Wednesday was March 11th, yes. And that's when it ended.
Yeah, okay.
Only reason I know because it was Leek's birthday.
Oh, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
My fault.
Well, we were both wrong, so. Yeah. But, yeah, what do you make of these numbers? Raw was 23rd in the night in overall viewership, but 1st, 2nd, and 5th in the key demos, with only 90 Day Fiancé taking spots 3 and 4 in between.
Those two demos don't feel like it crosses over.
You kidding me? I bet all the women our age would love 90 Day Fiancé. My brother's girlfriend loves 90 Day Fiancé. She's always talking about it.
I've never watched it. I can't go one way or the other.
I can't say I have either.
I
can imagine what it is though.
The only things I watch in USA are wrestling and SVU marathons.
I couldn't even tell you what channel 90 Day Fiancé is on. I think it's
Bravo.
Bravo.
It has to be Bravo.
Bravo or E. Nah, I don't think E.
Do you think that's their top show?
Has to be.
Because Cash Cab's on like at 11 o'clock p.m. and that's a damn tragedy.
Cash Cab is awesome.
I want to go into Cash Cab.
Is it still a thing anymore?
Yeah, there's new episodes.
Oh, I thought it was just the same old...
It's fucking Ben Bailey, the same guy.
I thought they were just repeats the whole time.
No, it's new episodes too.
That's news to me.
And they're on, I changed my TV right before, because I need sound to sleep. I changed my TV to Bravo right before I go to sleep, so I wake up and the Cash Cab's on. But... I don't know what this means, because you said you're comparing it. Rod destroyed NBA numbers this year. Every single time.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, we're looking at NBA numbers.
This is just more information that leads us to no fucking clear theory.
I wish I didn't X out that fucking thing, but NBA ratings on both. Let me see if I find the article again real quick. God, there's so many articles.
Well, you said the Celtics-Lakers, the basketball game.
Yeah, that was on MLK Day. Rob beat that. Rob didn't, kill it, but Rob beat it.
That got, 1.3, didn't it? Or something like that?
I think it was like, well, this is when Ra was still over 2 million. I think Celtics Lakers got like 1.8, 1.9, and Ra did like 2.1 million
viewers. Is the sky falling, or is the sky falling for television?
I don't know. Like, that's...
But, like, what bit of information do you need, or not do you need, do you think we need as fans that are interested in this that would sway it one way or the other?
Like, my main takeaway from this is, like, if, like, the wrestling bubble obviously isn't going to talk about basketball ratings, but, like, when you just look at mainstream sports culture, the NBA seems like the hip, cool league, you know what I mean? Like, all the people our age, it seems like they're more into the NBA than they're into the NFL.
Can it still be without being the viewers?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I think wrestling is.
And I think, like, it's hard to compare team sports because, like, if ESPN has on the... Who are two teams that are good but, like, you wouldn't give a shit about? The Jazz.
Nuggets and the Spurs.
The Jazz and the Nuggets, but you're a Sixers fan or a Celtics fan, are you going to care about that Jazz and Nuggets game? You know what I mean?
Unless you play fantasy or...
Or you're gambling.
Or you're gambling, which is totally wrong, but... Or you're just a basketball fan.
Yeah.
But how many of those are there? How many casual...
It seems like, if you go, like, based on what I see in my personal Twitter account, it seems like there's a lot.
Because I know, because we both had League Pass, and I would watch some Nuggets games, because I didn't think they're a fun team to watch. I think Jokic is a fat fuck, but he's a good player to watch. But,
Big Will Barton guy?
Big Will Barton guy. He's a Sixer next year, I guarantee it. And, I don't know. I don't know what piece of information sways us one way or the other, because... If I'm the WWE now and I see those ratings, which you're absolutely paying attention to, I'm not that worried if they're beating the NBA.
Yeah, see, like, I'm never worried about... The main thing I'm worried about is SmackDown, because those are... We should make it clear. Those are cable ratings. Cable ratings. I'm not talking about the Sunday Showcase on ABC. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, those
3:30 on ABC probably gets 4 million.
More than that. I'd say probably, like, 6 or 7 million. Hell, NASCAR got 6.3 million.
That's kind of gas chamber, though.
And to put in comparison, the last race before the pandemic got 4.1 million, because I did look it up.
Because it was also the Daytona 500.
No, the last race before the pandemic was not the Daytona 500.
Oh. Well,
they got three races in before shit got shut down.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Last race is Phoenix.
Phoenix Motor Speedway?
Yes, or whatever.
So how many people watch Daytona?
Over 7 million.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Daytona, and I do not like NASCAR.
Yeah.
But, and it was also the whole Ryan Newman thing. People were switching over.
And it was on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Because of rain.
Yeah, people were switching over to see what happened to Ryan Newman. But I don't know what this means. We just got to keep the ratings. Hopefully, they don't fall. The third hour drop-off is worrisome. I've always said it still only should be 2 hours, but I don't think that's necessarily their decision.
No, USA is paying them a lot of money to put on 3 hours of TV.
To take that block at night. So, I don't know what they got to do, but they got to do something.
It's
to get it back up. Where are you? If they go back up to 2.3 after the pandemic's over, 2.3 consistently, is that a good number for them?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know.
But that's the thing. We don't know.
Like, people like to compare it to 2016 when they were doing 4 million an episode. And, like, there's the people who say that TV habits have changed. Then there's the doom and gloomers who say they've driven away 2 million fans. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. They have driven away a lot of fans, but there's probably also a decent amount of people either DVRing it or watching it on Hulu the next day.
Or YouTube. But all those people are still following it. We'll never know. That's the thing. We'll never know how many people are following Raw. I can't say I don't watch all 3 hours of Raw every Monday. Do you?
Usually because I'm at work, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean...
Not like I do anything else.
Yeah, but, I mean, I switch around.
If Monday Night Football is on, I go back and forth.
Yeah.
But, like, in the summer...
I don't know, though. Luckily, Raw lucks out that the NFL hates ESPN. Because they never get a good game. I hate Monday Night
Football. Well, it's cable. They don't want to put their good games on cable.
They also want to give them the ESPN after the whole Deflategate thing.
Doesn't even matter. It's cable. Like, if it...
All Monday Night Football games suck.
Yeah, because it's cable.
They're not a good game.
Same reason Thursday Night Football sucks, because it's cable.
All right, I like the Thursday Night games.
Well, now that Fox has Thursday Night Football, they've been putting better matchups on it. But, like, if you remember, like, 2013 Thursday Night Football, it was just... Every game was a division game.
Like, I love football. You love football. You know that. Monday night, I'm just gassed. I'm gassed unless the Eagles are on.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just gassed. The Monday Night Football presentation sucks.
Although the Rams play Tampa Tom on a Monday this year.
Although I do think they're gonna change that booth.
They are.
If they send Herb Street and Fowler there, I will scream.
That would be bizarre.
If it's not broke, do not fix it. Herb Street, Kirk Herb Street, and Chris Fowler at 8 o'clock on Saturday night is college football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like Michaels and Collinsworth.
And I've always thought of those guys as college guys. So yeah. It would be weird.
And I'm sure they could do it because I think they're both outstanding. No doubt. Oh, yeah. They really upped their game this year for Monday night.
There's some decent games.
Oh, week one. I hate that week one.
The doubleheader. I hate it.
The second game is awful.
Well, it's because they have to give them 17 games and they don't want to give them a game on week 17.
Yeah. Steelers, Giants are the first game.
It's going to be bad.
Broncos, Titans are the second game.
Oof.
Jesus Christ. And then it picks up. Ooh, they got a good one week three. Week two is Saints, Raiders. Week three is Chiefs, Ravens. Falcons, Packers. The Brett Favre game. Chargers, Saints. Saints play like four times on Monday night. Cardinals, Cowboys. Ew. Bears, Rams, ew.
I can say ew to that. Say ew to the Bears.
Yeah. This game's going to suck.
How do you know?
Khalil Mack's going to sack Goff 9 times and the Rams are going to win by 21. That's
you're probably not wrong.
Buccaneers, Giants, Patriots, Jets, Vikings, Bears, Rams, Bucks, Seahawks versus the Eagles. That's a good game. Bills, Niners.
Eagles kind of got the primetime shaft this year.
Yeah, because when 90% of your team's hurt, you don't play that exciting games.
The Rams got the max, but that's because we got a shiny new stadium.
Eagles had 6 primetime games last year.
Did they get one flexed? Because 5's the max, unless they got one flexed.
They got one flexed. No, 2 years ago, I'm sorry.
The Rams game is the one that got flexed in.
Yeah.
Fuck that game.
That was a great game.
No, it wasn't. The one in 2017 was better.
That's fair.
Besides Wentz getting hurt. That sucked.
It did suck.
And I'm not a Wentz fan.
No, that's awful. And what happened there? I just want to know.
Former Ram Chris Long got a game-winning fumble recovery on Jared Goff.
And former Ram Nick Foles won the MVP.
I don't associate him as a former Ram.
I wouldn't. But
I like Nick Foles, though.
Who does? Who can't? He doesn't have to pay for a
Jaguar beer. Jaguar fans probably don't like him.
He doesn't have to pay for a beer in Philadelphia the rest of his life.
That's true.
He's a god there. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
We probably turned off everybody that was listening. Yeah. We turned into a fucking Monday Night Football podcast.
Because we talk too much. Raw ratings, though.
Never shuts up.
It's got to go back up. It's got to go back up. Or they're in trouble after the pandemic.
The point I was going to make before we got so sidetracked is I'm more concerned about the domestic subscribers on the network being under 1 million. That's the far more...
I would be, too.
That's the far more concerning and telling number.
I would be, too. Because
just doesn't seem to be there.
Because the network, I think, pretty universally is accepted as incredible. You know what I'm saying? They're losing fans if they cancel. I mean, not because somebody loses a match or things like some people do. But a drastic number in subscribers to the network is a problem. Because they're your fans. And if you're driving them away, they're your actual fans.
Yeah, so I don't know what the new deal is. I don't know why. I guess it's just people don't like empty arena wrestling.
And it's getting to me, too.
Yeah,
it's getting to me too.
I agree.
Especially as we'll talk about later in our usual war report segment. It's getting to me too, and I can watch wrestling forever. I think, you know what though, I do give credit where credit's due, and I hope Double or Nothing pulls it off. The pay per views have been fine. The empty arena pay per views.
AEW, I don't think I've never like AEW has handled this empty arena shit
very well.
Leaps and bounds better than WWE.
Yes, they have. Yes,
so
they have.
I was never worried about AEW in terms of that.
Yes, yeah. But. That'll get old quick, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Completely unbiasedly, I'm saying that. But I believe that the ratings will get more of a clear thing when the pandemic's over. But up next, WWE Ember Moon on WWE Backstage said her career is possibly over.
Yeah, she was talking about, they're having a segment about things you could do over. And she basically said that should she maybe have been the one to beat Asuka, perhaps? Should she have beaten Bayley for the title at SummerSlam last year? Perhaps. But she doesn't want to look behind. She wants to look forward, especially trying to come back from an injury like this where her career could potentially be over.
Yeah, it's a dastardly injury.
Yeah, torn Achilles.
I mean, how many people have come back from it? Edge? Hardy?
Edge, yeah.
I believe Jeff Hardy tore his Achilles.
Did he?
Or was Edge wrestling Jeff Hardy when he tore his Achilles? One of the two.
Edge tore his Achilles as part of a tag team with Jericho, so I don't think it was that.
But I just, and I hope Woods is on his way back.
Yeah.
The kind of whole pandemic thing probably slowed everything because he can't rehab properly. But yeah, I hope she comes back. I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's got probably the best woman's finishing move in the game right now. I love that Eclipse, and it looks so great when she hits it. But on a personal level, this was her dream. I hope she does it. She's a prime example of how Booker T's a great trainer.
But I think even if she can't, she's been good in her role on backstage. I think she could have a future there if that's something she'd want.
Luckily, that company can offer that. But like what Paige does.
What does Paige do?
I don't know.
That's good. What does Paige do?
She did a lot after she couldn't return to the ring.
She's a great general manager. Yeah, I will say that.
Fantastic general
manager. She's a great general manager. I don't know what the fuck she does now.
They'll find a place for her somewhere. And I hope hope they do. You always want people to be employed.
But I hope she gets back.
Me too. And now for the Hammer, the Dark Side of the Ring episode, the Last Days of Owen Hart, which was such a tremendous episode. I have nothing but great things to say about the Dark Side of the Ring guys. It wasn't a bash fest, which I probably would have turned off, but there's a lot of things that could have been looked at.
Okay, so let me kind of lead this one here because
I don't think you should do that.
Well, because you have always been of the opinion that Martha is the devil reincarnated, and she's hiding Owen's legacy, and he's got to be in the goddamn Hall of Fame tomorrow. So has your tune changed?
I understand her more, but I still think he should be in. I think, and I understand why he's not, and he'll never be. I get that. But I can't possibly see her point of view. Like, her exact point of view. I mean, she lost the most important person in her life, and in a very shaky way that probably was preventable.
It was preventable.
Yeah, but I mean, hindsight.
Well, yeah, of course, but was preventable.
It was preventable in hindsight, and things surrounded it that were shaky, but I just feel like there's something missing between WWE Hall of Fame and Owen, and it should happen. I still would like to see him there, but I understand why he's not.
How do them boots taste?
They taste a little rubbery.
You're licking them, baby.
I am.
You're licking them.
I am.
So here's my point of view has never changed. So whether you want to look at this as...
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
I actually... Although one thing she said got me angry.
What was that?
The stuff about... She just discredited the Hall of Fame. Now, you can have that. You can have that opinion. But some people take that... Some people are very happy with that honor.
That's fine. And she's not wrong either.
No, she's not wrong either. But I think publicly discrediting it kind of spits in the face of her husband's peers that...
Because nothing's more legitimate than a Hall of Fame with Drew Carey in it.
Yeah, you're goddamn right. Watch Who's Line?
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's the best show ever. Better than all the wrestling shows ever, is Who's Line is anyway.
You're probably right.
But
that's because of Wayne Brady, not because of Drew Carey.
No, it's because of Colin Mockery. Fuck
Colin off. Mockery is great.
But I just think it's a weird situation. It wasn't a bash fest, which I'm so thankful for. Right or wrong, WWE bashing just gets tiring.
Because you're licking them boots, baby.
I'm not licking any boots.
You're licking the boots.
But some people.
Hope they're patent leather.
I don't tweet about it like I know what happened, and some people do, and that gets me angry.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll give you that one.
Certain people on Twitter think Vince McMahon shot him down on the way down. And
I shouldn't laugh, but.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure it was in Vince's plan to have someone he was paying $500,000 a year to fall and fucking die. Like, I'm sure that was in his plans. And the police should have stopped the show. It should not have been Vince's decision. And you know what? I'm not in charge of a company as big as that. Right now, I'd say it's really easy to say the show should have stopped. Back then, in the midst of everything, I don't know if I make that decision. I don't know if I can make the decision. I don't know if I blame anybody for making either decision. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Right now, yeah, the show should have stopped. Absolutely. But imagine in the middle of everything when you're on live doing that kind of shit. It's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in an arena full of people. And it's just, I wouldn't want to make that decision.
My turn yet?
Yes, your turn. Sorry.
Okay. So whether you believe there was some sort of negligence or if it was just a freak accident.
Or both. Could be both.
The facts of the case are Owen Hart died on the clock at work doing something he was vocally uncomfortable doing. So no one, not me, not you, not any bootlickers on Twitter, nobody has the right to tell Martha Hart how she should feel.
Fair enough.
At the same token, no one has the right to tell Brett and the side of the family that, you know, has kind of been alienated from Martha how they have the right to feel, because they lost a brother.
Yeah, they lost a brother and a son.
Yeah.
And an uncle and a brother-in-law.
So if Martha doesn't want Owen in the Hall of Fame, just let it go, people.
Yeah, it's over.
Let it go.
He's in five other ones.
That's pretty much what she was saying. She's like, the WWE Hall of Fame. And I agree with everything she said about the Hall of Fame. It is nothing more than an excuse to sign guys to WWE Legends contracts so you can merchandise them and sell a few more thousand tickets to an event WrestleMania weekend. It is nothing more. And I'm not even saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, because especially for some of the undercard inductees, this could be the last time that they ever get to go up in front of a crowd that size and, you know, just have one last hurrah.
Yeah, I mean, when Hillbilly Jim gets done talking.
So while I am not a fan of the WWE Hall of Fame, and I don't think it has an ounce of legitimacy, I also don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. But at that token, the people who are just, like, fighting and fighting for Owen to go in, I know you have good intentions, but after seeing what Martha said and seeing what the kids said, you just gotta give up the fight.
His kids look exactly like him, which is just sad. It's so sad. That was so hard to get through. And I guess if you haven't watched it, guys you don't associate with emotion, such as Jim Cornette and other people.
I think people associate Jim Cornette with emotion.
We'll break your
heart. Hate is an emotion.
We'll break your heart. He broke my heart. He broke down. He made a good point that everything was so silly at that point. Everything got so silly that here you have one of the, you know, five best wrestlers on the planet, and you don't know what to do with him. So you give him the Blue Blazer gimmick. But,
well, that's not entirely true. We all know why he was given the Blue Blazer gimmick.
Yeah, because his brother was a dick.
No, because he refused to do an angle where he would be...
But the thing is, though, I like the Blue Blazer, and I can't like it because it ended up with his death, but I really like the Blue Blazer gimmick. I really do.
It's not a bad gimmick, but when you have Owen fucking Hart, there's...
Yeah, you know what?
I don't know. It's just like... It's just frustrating because all of this could have been avoided.
Yeah, and where are we if it doesn't happen? Where are we? Where does he do?
Probably wrestles for a few more years and opens a school. Like, that's what he wanted to do.
Could have moved his family to Orlando. Could have been head trainer at the Performance Center. Easily.
Or he could have bought his dad's house and continued the legacy of the Dungeon.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, I mean, he was a great trainer. In my opinion, he's a better wrestler than Brett. My personal opinion.
I don't think you're too... I don't think, like, people could argue that, but yeah. It's not like it's a fucking... It's not like it's an out-there statement.
I agree, but... Yeah, you have a favorite Owen Hart match?
Probably the cage match against Brett.
SummerSlam
94. Mine too.
That's why their WrestleMania match didn't make my WrestleMania match list, because I didn't think it was their best match.
That doesn't matter. It's still a fucking great match.
Yeah, it is. It's a great match. Owen Hart was great. One of the original high flyers. Like, he was 15 years before his time, right?
Yeah.
Bigger guys, because he wasn't huge, but bigger guys doing little guy things. But that's enough of the sadness. Coming up next, we have the world-famous War Report. See you in just a few seconds.
But before we see you in a few seconds, how about we tell you about our friends over at Pro-Am Belts? If you want a custom championship belt for whatever the occasion may be, maybe you just pin Naito in the Tokyo Dome and you're now IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Who'd you beat? Okada? Who do you want to beat?
Who do I want to beat? Like, do they have to be a former IWGP champion, or can I beat anybody in Japan?
Anybody in Japan.
I want to beat the human refrigerator himself, Shingo Takagi.
Awesome.
Because I want to be the king of the
mean, guys. I think you'll get there one day, so it's okay.
I want to be a short, thick, mean guy like Takagi and Ishii. That's my dream in life.
You are a short, thick guy.
I'm not thick. I wish I was thick.
You're thick Van Exel.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But Pro-Am Belts is the place to go for the custom championship belt, for whatever the occasion may be. You're going to use promo code TBT15OFF to save yourself 15% off. Once again, that is promo code TBT15OFF to save yourself 15% off. And when we get back, we will go over NXT and AEW for the week, as my friend and co-host so vehemently mentioned.
I'm so happy you mentioned me as your friend first.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. It'll be fun. The war report for the day of, I guess Wednesday was May 20th of the year of our Lord 20, or was it the 21st? It was the 20th, right?
No, today's the 21st. It was the 20th.
Yeah, so May 20th, the year of our Lord 2020, we opened the show with a promo from Mr. Brody Lee.
Mr. Boring Lee.
Wow, you've turned on this motherfucker.
I just don't like the character. I really don't. I don't. I thought he was all right.
I don't mind the character. I just thought the Vince shit was lame, and they've kind of shied away from that now.
Which is good. And he's just a bold-faced fucking liar when he says there's nothing. There's he's either the stupidest person to ever exist, or he's just bold-faced lying. That he said there's nothing to be, make fun of Vince there.
He's lying.
Yeah, he's lying. But I thought this was okay. I don't like the whole Dark Order thing. I don't fucking remember.
I even saw Snowden. He even kind of turned on it. He said it's like the one thing. He said it's the one thing they're doing that's not working.
Yeah. I think they're getting better reactions with no fans than they were with the fans.
Wow, I was waiting for a snarky reaction, like, the one thing?
No, I mean, I don't like the whole Dark Order thing.
Well, I feel like when you get to a certain other segment, you're going to have a field day with it.
Yeah, I am. I know you're going, I am. But, I think he's really good. I think he's really good, and I think this is stupid. This is stupider than any gimmick he's ever had with WWE.
Well, I mean, he said two gimmicks. A brother that bludgeons and a spooky swamp guy.
Yeah, both of them are better than this. I want him to see him work like a wrestler.
Well, I bet, I have a hunch you'll get to see that on Saturday.
Oh, maybe. I hope. And I like Moxley. I mean, they once wrestled for 2.5 hours, so.
They did.
So, I mean, they have some chemistry. But I like them both, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully he can come off as a badass and honestly just ditch the gimmick thing.
So Brody talked about that he has to produce results and he has to inspire his clan because they are loyal to him, so he must pay them back for their loyalty.
Yeah, he did a real good job of that.
Well, he's a liar. That's what cult leaders do.
Yeah.
So he calls 10 out and he says 10 has been chosen to hurt Moxley. Moxley makes his way to the ring, and we have a match. 10 got a decent amount of offense in here.
Oh, yeah, the jobber got a decent amount of offense in this company. I would have guessed.
Wow, I was about to defend you, and now I can't because you just buried yourself. Because
that's what I do. What are you going to say?
So, basically, I was going to say that I have no problem, and I would assume you had no problem with 10 getting an offense in either because it seems like they have plans for him.
And, oh, yeah, no, this specific case,
and with
he's fine.
With the Allen Angels thing, I think people were misunderstanding that, like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the way I got it is you weren't upset because Kenny Omega was taking a lot of offense. You were upset because it was coming from a guy where they clearly had no plans for, and he was just...
Exactly. And it's there to happen.
But then you go out and say, oh, the jobber getting offense. And,
It was a joke. It's what I do here. But, no, yeah, they obviously have plans for this guy. Although he does have the weirdest body type I've ever seen in my life in wrestling.
Yeah, he could have won the Heisman.
Yeah, fucking running back Trace McSorley. But I just think that this is a very weird thing. Like I said, the Dark Order thing just doesn't do it for me. Now, this guy might work in this because he's a follower that can blossom out of the concrete of being held down. And if they do it right, it can be done good. And they obviously have plans for him. I've never seen him wrestle. Have you? Other than last night?
Well, his first AEW match.
Yeah, I mean, other than being 10.
No.
Did you ever see him wrestle?
Well, I think he's... No. I won't overcomplicate this. No.
No, I don't think he's a wrestler yet. But they obviously want... They're obviously trying to make this Dark Order thing work, which I guess is okay. You have to work. And Evil Uno and Stu Grayson are not going to tear the world down. If they get a star out of it, that's fine. But he did get a good, decent amount of offense. Moxley sold like hell for him.
I have a confession to make.
What?
I really like Grayson and Evil Uno as a tag team.
I don't mind them. I hate him, but you know the him.
I think they work very well together.
I do. I like their finisher, the Gory Bomb Special. But I just think the whole thing is stupid. I just don't like the gimmick, and that's in my prerogative to do.
So Mox,
as far as evil cults go, they're one of the worst.
So Mox said, "You're a member. What are you talking about?"
No, I'm not a member.
You're like an associate.
I'm not an associate. He wants me to hang his fucking flyers.
If the Dark Order is a Walmart, you'd be the greeter.
Yes,
you welcome people to the Dark Order.
Yes, I am the gate. I am the trying to dig back into my Greek mythology of the guy that leads the ship across to the underworld.
Oh, fuck off.
That's him. But
so Mox had the paradigm shift. He did refuse to go for the cover, though. He picked up a lesson he learned in Japan from Minoru Suzuki. He hit a Gotch pile driver.
It was a good-looking Gotch pile driver.
Then he hit an elevated paradigm shift, and he got the win. He said if Brody Lee doesn't come out in 10 seconds, ironically, he was going to break Ten's arm. Brody Lee was nowhere to be... Well, he came out in the big screen and said that if Mox breaks his arm, he was going to make their fight personal, and Ten would be the sacrifice. And Ten was a sacrifice as Mox...
Poor fucker got his arm broken.
As Mox broke his arm. I like the promo. I know you didn't seem to like the promo.
It didn't... I just... There's a mental block blocking me from liking this, and I don't know what it's going to take to block that, if that makes any sense, to get rid of it.
Like you said, if they handle the Ten situation right, they could get a star out of it one day. Not any time in the near future, but... No.
You're sometime thinking down at the least line. Six months a year.
Yeah, sometimes down the line.
But yeah, there's something blocking me from liking Brody Lee as this character, and I don't know what it is.
I liked Mox's aggressiveness. He acted like he was a guy who was pissed off who got his title stolen because he was a guy who was pissed off he got his title stolen.
Yeah, I just also don't like why he has to enter through the parking lot either in an empty arena.
I mean, I get it. Like, you can't just change what you do when there's no, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, but it is a weird visual.
It's bizarre. It was like daylight, and he's just walking around.
At least he didn't take his truck.
Yeah, at least he didn't drive his truck 10 feet.
Up next, we have MJF taking on Marco Stunt ahead of his match with Jungle Boy. It was basically what you expected. Stunt got a little offense in. He got a slap in the face and a nice little low kick before MJF destroyed him with a clothesline. But even when MJF was completely in control, Wardlow still cheated and choked Marco Stunt behind the ref's back. That's idiot. Some great heel work. Stunt got a Hurricane Rana, but MJF hit a shoulder breaker, which is something I haven't seen since Rocky Maivia in 1996.
I wonder what that guy wanted to do.
But the shoulder breaker was transitioned to an armbar, and MJF got the win. It was exactly what it needed to be. It built up nicely to Jungle Boy and MJF this Saturday.
Get Marco Stunt off TV.
See, if he's in this role, I don't mind him. You know what I mean?
But the visual's just awful. It's just awful. Seeing MJF try to powerbomb this fucking guy.
I don't know. I didn't hate it.
He's all right. MJF did good. MJF can make anything look good, though.
Like, I don't mind Marco Stunt in this role or, like, getting fed to Arch. Like, he could bump his ass off. He's good at it.
Yep, and that's the match I'm looking forward to the most.
And, you know, when Stunt gets his... It's not like Marco Stunt is hitting fucking dragon suplexes when he gets his spurts of offense, and they're believable.
Yeah, I mean, they're just punches and kicks.
And Hurricane Ranas and flying moves, and...
I guess you're right.
Certainly, I don't want to see him fucking featured in, like, the TNT title picture.
I just wouldn't want to feed him to the top talent, you know? Because there's no winning in beating him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, if you're in a storyline with Jungle Boy,
no, yeah, this in this sense makes sense. But he didn't need to wrestle Archer. He didn't need to wrestle Brody Lee.
But they were both fun. I enjoyed both of them.
Brody Lee did kick the shit out of him.
So next, Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson have a talk. This one was like very weird to me because it's almost like they were building to a Jake Roberts versus Arn Anderson match. That's never
something
gonna happen.
Tells me they are.
They kept teasing that Mike Tyson is going to knock somebody out. It shouldn't be Archer. It shouldn't be Cody, and it shouldn't be either of these two. I don't know who he's
going to
knock out.
No, it should be Cody. It shouldn't be Cody, but it's going to be Cody. You know why?
Why?
Is that not the most Dusty Rhodes-ass thing that would ever happen?
I feel like Sammy Guevara is going to come out and get knocked out somehow, because he's the perfect guy for it, but he's not involved in this at all.
Yeah.
Like, Guevara would do a fucking backflip.
Yeah. Tyson's not just going to do nothing.
Well, they said, like, Arn basically said, like, hey, this motherfucker's knocking someone out. Like, they teased it more than WWE teasing someone thrown off the roof.
Yeah, that's going to happen. That's going to be a weird match. They're going to smoz the fuck out of that match. But,
yeah, so
do you think Jake gets a DDT? He's been wanting to hit a DDT for years.
Is he physically able to? Like,
probably not, but I don't think they care. The reason he always wanted to get back into a rumble, but Vince wouldn't clear him. Not Vince, but the doctors wouldn't clear him.
So basically, they just talked shit about each other. Then Jake flipped the table, and officials came out and broke it up. There was This one got a mixed reaction on the Twitter machine. I wasn't feeling this one too
much.
I just
never saw Arn Anderson go to promo like that.
It's just like, I don't know what they're... I know they were trying to build towards the TNT title match, but it was more about them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It wasn't about... I don't think... He just kept saying they didn't bolster the match at all.
Like, if Arn didn't have a fucking Nightmare Family logo on his chest, I would have forgot he was even out there representing Cody.
He looks fucking hysterical with that logo on his collar. He looks absolutely fucking hysterical.
He should get it on his neck.
No, he shouldn't. I don't know what's worse, the one on the neck or the one on the special edition Ford Raptor truck.
The truck.
One, he made 50 of those fucking things.
Ray Phoenix versus Orange Cassidy. Before the match, Pat cut a promo from his home. He mentioned that this isn't the first time he had to sit at home and wait something out, because of course he did.
Yeah,
because,
you know, you're doing so well now, buddy.
He's doing good for him. I don't know. You're barbs.
He is in a faction called Death Triangle.
It sounds cool in Spanish.
It does sound cool in Spanish, so say it in Spanish.
I can't argue with that.
Say it in Spanish. Death Triangle sounds... Why don't you just call him Bermuda? Like, what the fuck? Death Triangle.
So, we have Rey Fénix versus Orange Cassidy. They try to recreate the spot they did last week with Fénix doing a flying karate kick, but...
Orange Cassidy
nonchalantly ducked.
The Orange Cassidy out of the way.
And just, like, rolled into the ring. They had a fun match. I like this match. They had a fun match.
Yeah, they did. They really did.
Orange Cassidy showed a little bit of what he could do.
Hopefully Fénix is alive.
Yeah, we'll get there. So, the Luchador was... he missed several shots. He finally hit a double stomp. And then...
He runs the ropes like a motherfucker.
He's amazing, like, working the ropes.
He's incredible. I don't even know who's better, him or his brother.
He had a fucking leg drop over the top rope for a near fall. They went to commercial. Orange Cassidy made a comeback. He hit a ridiculous diving DDT. All of a sudden, Kip Sabian pulled a ladder out and just, like, sat at the top of the ladder and watched. Fénix eventually hit a low blow, followed by a rolling cutter for the victory. And then everybody involved in the ladder match came out and brawled.
They WWE smudged it.
And this is what you're talking about. We got to a sequence where everyone was doing dives, and Fénix went for, like, a springboard, like, senton. Their springboard, like, it was like a springboard. I don't even know. It wasn't a tope.
No, it was like a swanton, senton?
Yeah.
It was a front flip, yeah. Is what it was.
That was the plan.
Yeah, he just went straight up, and he missed everyone.
There were so many, and the people who were there to catch him did not even make, like, an effort to move forward.
No, not at all. He landed right on his back on the floor.
That looked like it was no fun.
Yeah, not fun at all. I hope he's okay, because he's one of my favorite people to watch on that program. I think he will be TNT champion one day.
All right, Nyla Rose and Britt Baker taking on Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida. The floor is yours.
I have nothing else to say about this division. They keep trying to mask things with tag matches and four ways, and it's just not good. It's just not good. They have to train. I don't know what they have to do. This was all right for the bar that division is set. Hopefully Britt's okay, because that was a very irresponsible spot, in my opinion. Yeah, two people, Death Dollar.
I don't think it was irresponsible. It's just, you know.
It's just one of those. It's not irresponsible. I should be.
Yeah, it was just.
Unnecessary, maybe. I don't want to say irresponsible, putting the blame on anybody, but I just don't think that spot did anything for anybody. With two wrestlers, Death Valley drivering a 300-pound wrestler on the knee of their teammate. Hopefully Britt's okay. She's been one of the shining stars of the show in the last 2 months. And I just, this division does nothing for me. I'm sorry. I don't know what to think. They need something. I don't know what they need, but it's just not working right now.
See, as you mentioned, this match was, I guess calling it sloppy would be polite, but we'll say sloppy. You mentioned the spot Britt Baker got hurt when they tried to throw Nyla Rose into her, but all of Nyla landed on Britt's knee. It looked like no fun, bad times are had by all. The finish of this was very weird, and I don't know if they had to change it because Britt got hurt.
I would say, because she went right over to the...
But Nyla powerbombed Shida and pinned her. That's the title match on Sunday.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I think they had to change it.
I think they had to change it, too.
Because Britt went right over to the...
Britt was
to the apron. She knew something was wrong. Hopefully, it's definitely something, but hopefully it's not nothing torn.
Agreed.
Hopefully it's because that's just unfortunate if that is true. It looked ugly. You don't want anybody landing on your knee, especially the biggest wrestler. Does she weigh the most in the company?
Eva Luna has to weigh more than her.
Okay, you're right. But she's up there.
Of the women, probably no contest.
Of the women, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's bigger than half the men, too. But I just hopefully Britt's okay. It looked ugly. I've seen it on replay 100 times. It just doesn't look good. And hopefully she's in a torn ACL, MCL. Hopefully she can get away with a sprain or a mild tear where it's not just a couple weeks of not doing too much and she'll be okay.
Yeah, so I can't dig on them too much for the finish because this probably wasn't audible. But if this was the plan, I don't know why this would be the plan.
Yeah.
But
that, it would also not surprise me if it was the plan.
Up next, the main event, Matt Hardy taking on Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is like the star of this company in terms of like he makes everybody he's in the ring with look so good.
Yeah, he's
he bumps like a motherfucker.
He's the future of this company.
So
he it's not even like he doesn't even have a lot of bad habits either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Darby has some bad habits. And I think Darby's the yin to
Oh, speaking of Darby, what did you think of his little promo video?
That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It was bizarre.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. He was like playing poker
with guys in Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Everyone in the ladder match, they all had like their masks, but they were like some of the facial expressions on these masks or something.
But yeah, it was absolutely bizarre. Other than that, I think Darby is the yang to Sammy Guevara's yin, and we'll be looking at that for a while. Sammy Guevara is very good.
So Guevara made Hardy look like $1 million, and then Hardy killed him with a twist of fate, but he wasn't satisfied with just getting the win. He grabbed a chair and was about to end Guevara's life when the Inner Circle cut to TIA Bank Stadium, and all of a sudden they were holding Kenny Omega against the goalpost, and they were going to kill Kenny. But then the Young Bucks made their triumphant return to AEW and make the save. And then the show ended with the Hangman, Adam Page, showing his record-setting NFL Combine 40-yard dash speed that he claims he has. And
3.87. Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Like, not even possible.
Yeah. And he clotheslined the Elite, and the Elite stood tall to end the show. But Hangman did not stick around to celebrate. He just marched right off to presumably go do some more cowboy shit.
Good continuity is what I meant to say. Good continuity. Still doesn't give a fuck about the Bucks. And we'll find out Saturday what exactly the fuck a Stadium Stampede match is.
I don't know. I really like the show.
It was all right. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
All right. To NXT, also May 20th, 2020. The show opened with Karrion Kross and Scarlett. They already changed the entrance. Scarlett no longer lip syncs the first part of the song.
For the better.
Vast improvement. Yeah. I said this entrance has a shelf life if they kept doing what they were doing every week.
I get it. I absolutely get it that they did it for the arrival, and now they cut it down. I like it a lot. And he was better this week than he was last week. He manhandled this poor fucking guy.
So Karrion Kross took on Liam. Just Liam. He caught him running in with an exploder. He hit him with a second exploder, followed by a Doomsday Saito, and finished him off with the Cross Jacket for another victory. But his celebration would be short-lived as Tommaso Ciampa came out, making his first appearance since Cross attacked him backstage last month. And Ciampa said that this is his home, and he knows why Cross attacked him to try to prove a point. Well, he could try and prove his point at TakeOver in Your House.
Which that card is looking very good. You agree?
Yeah.
But yeah, I like these two. I mean, Cross has to get the win, right?
I assume so.
Yeah, Cross has to get the win. I like Cross just manhandling people. It looks good. Do you like his finisher being a submission though?
I don't mind it. It's fine.
All right, I mean, me too. I would rather him just kill somebody in a way and stand on them and pin them. But that's just my personal taste. This was good. Chop is great.
Interim Cruiserweight Championship Tournament, El Hijo del Fantasma taking on Akira Tozawa. This is a fun match. Fantasma got a roll up for near fall seconds into the match. Fantasma had a float over suplex, another near fall. Two men trade arm drags. Tozawa misses a drop kick, and Fantasma appears to be playing mind games with the veteran raw jobber and cruiserweight competitor Akira Tozawa. And I say that with love. I don't understand what they're doing with Tozawa. Why is he so competitive in this tournament, but he jobs on Raw? I don't fucking know.
But he looked great.
Yeah. Oh, Tozawa's awesome. I love Tozawa.
That senton, man. Every time I see it, it impresses me more.
The two trade chops. Tozawa hits a jab. But this does not knock Tozawa off of his feet. Instead, he staggers out to the floor, where Tozawa took him out with a hurricanrana off the apron. They go to commercial. We come back. Phantasma now has the upper hand. Phantasma blocks a springboard Spanish fly and hits Tozawa with a top rope gut buster. And then Phantasma hits the thrill of the hunt and gets the victory.
The thrill of the cunt.
So now, what the fuck was that about?
What?
Thrill of the cunt. Watch the language.
I just said it.
It's a disgusting word.
It is. It's a great word, though.
So Phantasma gets the victory and advances to the finals.
As we saw coming.
Yeah.
I didn't see Tozawa being this competitive, but Phantasma belongs in the finals. It wasn't the last we saw him last night, but I believe that this was the right choice. Tozawa looked good in the loss, and Tozawa has a spot. I mean, it's one thing he has is a spot.
Well, he has a spot, all right.
He has a spot everywhere.
Someone has to be there Monday night.
Yeah. That's why he couldn't get kidnapped later.
Yeah. So after the bout, we see the highlights last week of the implosion of the Thatcher-Riddle alliance. And then Riddle challenges Thatcher to a fight with only knockouts and submissions. We'll get another update on that match later, but here we go. See a Shotzi Blackheart vignette.
That was just incredible.
Really? I hated it.
I hated it too, but it was incredible that existed.
I the delivery was so goofy. Like,
yeah, it was wacky.
She needs to work on her delivery.
Yeah. Well, she's the only one made to do it, so I like her a lot. I like her in the little tank more than the big tank.
She was describing the specs of the tank, including that the cannon was a 105 howitzer. She said that she would roll through the women's division, and her first targets are Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Mia Yim versus Santana Garrett. Quick squash. Mia Yim hits the protect your neck, and that's the finish. So after the match is over, Johnny Gargano comes out singing Mia Yim's theme song. Whenever someone sings someone else's theme song, it's always automatic A+.
It's never bad. And Keith Lee had the line of the night here. Who the hell films himself eating dinner?
I mean, it's a valid question.
It is. I am a big fan of heel Johnny and heel Candace.
Yeah.
I think they're going great, and I think Johnny and Lee will be a good match.
So Johnny and Candace say that Yim constantly gets handed opportunities, says she had a golden opportunity against Charlotte Flair, and she squandered it away. If Candace would have been in that match, she would be the new champion. The Gargano family then beat up Mia Yim, leading to, as you mentioned, Keith Lee coming out to make the save.
Are they married or are they just dating?
They are just dating. Gargano and LeRae powder up the ramp, and that is that.
Looks like we're getting Johnny and Keith.
I would assume so as well.
Or a tag match.
I think they'll probably do Mia and Candace on TV, and Johnny and Keith would be at the pay-per-view. That'd be my assumption. We got highlights of the Finn Balor-Cameron Grimes match last week. Cameron Grimes cuts a promo on what I assume is his ranch. He says it's Grime time, and I agree.
It is. It's always Grime time.
It's always Grime
time. Big fan of him. As you said. Now, speaking of big fan.
We're not quite there yet. I know what you're... We have a backstage interview first. Oh, but right. I know exactly what you are mentioning. And yes. Drake Maverick interview. He says his back is against the wall. He only has two options. Beat Kushida by pinfall or beat Kushida by submission. I don't know why there's only two options. He could have also won by countout or DQ.
Oh, this was before that. This was good. I like this.
The match wasn't before that, but the promo was.
No, the promo was.
Yeah.
Because he said, I don't think I'm Bret Hart, so...
Yeah. And he said he's done feeling sorry for himself, and tonight we get the best version of Drake Maverick.
And we did, and we also got the worst version of Twitter.
The Undisputed Era comes out. They're cutting a promo to the camera as they make their way to the ring. Roderick Strong calls Loomis a big creepy dork.
I did. I was expecting you to text me because I laughed out loud, and I knew you did.
I also did. Then out came the ninth wonder of the world from Wyoming. Dexter Loomis.
I love this fucking guy, man. I love him.
He's the best.
He is. I genuinely, I hope he's a champion one day.
He's the best. Yeah, I agree.
He is so different and so outstanding. He's also fucking gigantic.
We're the two OGs in the Loomis train.
He is also gigantic. He's a big man. He is a mean guy.
So, yeah, how do you not make this tournament?
He was still in the mean guy cephalopod. Yeah. You know, he's just still in the...
He's not a mean guy butterfly yet.
No, he's... I'm still in the cocoon. I think cephalopod's an octopus. I think I used the wrong word.
Yeah, but... I knew what you meant somehow. I somehow got what you were trying to say.
But I thought this was the best match of the night on either show.
Wow. I wouldn't go that far, but...
You're going that far.
I would not go that far at all.
I thought this was great. I thought the finish was a little weird.
I thought Hardy and Guevara was better than this.
It was that or this.
I did love this, though. So, Loomis overpowered him early. Roddy Strong had nothing that could stop Dexter Loomis in the early going.
I did not know how fucking big he is.
He's a big dude.
He's got to be 6'7", 6'8".
I don't know about that tall.
I mean, Roddy's short, though. So I don't.
Yeah,
mean,
Roddy's like 5'10", 5'11".
The size difference in this was impressive. He's also jacked. I love the glove.
That's the one. That's the one detraction everyone says about the Undisputed Era is they're four really small guys. That's kind of what everyone says to when they're saying how much better the Inner Circle are. So
Adam Cole shits out better wrestlers than Jake Hager.
No comment.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about AEW?
What?
Fucking Anchorman Sean Spears.
You're right, we didn't.
Get off my fucking channel, pal. Get off my TV.
We will talk about that in the Double or Nothing preview. You're because boring. He set up a match for Double or Nothing.
Yeah, in 20 seconds.
So Strong is hitting Loomis with all these strikes, but nothing is phasing the big man. But then he eventually rams him face first in the steel steps, and even that will slow down Dexter Loomis. A backbreaker on the apron, and we go to commercial. Roderick Strong is in control when we come back, but Loomis just eats the fucking shots and stares right through Roddy Strong's soul. Strong hits an Olympic slam, two count, and as soon as he kicked out, he just went right back to staring at Roddy. So
I love this guy.
He went for another Olympic slam, but Loomis hit a Fez press, which is always impressive.
I love a Fez press.
He followed up with a back Roddy drop and a slingshot suplex. This guy was going straight 1980s NWA on Roddy Strong. He got a two count. Then he had a double A spine buster. Once again, share the 80s NWA.
He has a beautiful spine buster.
But Strong rolled up Loomis and got a surprise victory. But then we got the greatness that was the post-match. The post-match was excellent. So Strong rolls out of the ring. He's celebrating on the floor. But then Loomis does that weird leg crawl all the way through the ring, out of the ring, and locks in the Anaconda Vice.
The Katagatami, right? Is the name of the move?
No, it's a Tazmission.
It's a Tazmission?
Yeah. He uses an arm triangle. More type deal.
And it was like through the ropes. It looked fucking great.
Yeah. So then it gets even better. Bobby Fish and Adam Cole come out. They repeatedly kick Loomis in the head as he no sells and continues to stare forward while fucking Roddy Strong is not breathing at this point. Out comes the preteen dream.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
The Velveteen Dream comes out. He evens up the odds. He hits a purple rainmaker on Adam Cole. And that's the end of the segment.
We're with you. We're with you, Dexter. We're with you.
Up next, we are shown El Hijo del Fantasma in the parking lot. Tozawa is sitting kind of dejected. Fantasma gets out of his car wearing a mask. Which, why wouldn't he be?
He was driving in the mask. I don't know why it tickled me. It was so funny.
In really nice clothes.
Yeah, he was, like, in a Gucci suit. He's like, hey, Akira. He was just in a mask. I love it. I love wrestling.
The guys try to kidnap Tozawa, but Phantasma makes the save. And where's the security in this goddamn parking lot?
I don't know. I still don't know who's kidnapping people.
Up next, the 1-2s take on Ever-Rise. Of course, the 1-2s are Oney Larkin and Danny Burch. And Ever-Rise are Matt Martel and Chase Parker.
Matt the Model Martel.
He is from Quebec, so maybe there's a relation there. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But I would love to see Burch and Larkin get back into this.
Yeah.
I think they're a great tag team. They had one of my favorite matches ever in NXT history, which was against the Undisputed Era in Chicago?
Yep.
I believe.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite matches in the history of the promotion. We're both Lonnie or Oney. I can't say that name. We're both Biff Bissick fans.
You can say that one.
Yeah, I can't say the word Oney.
You just did.
Oney Lorcan.
It's not hard. Oney Lorcan.
Oney Lorcan. Did I say it? I don't know.
Just call him Christopher Gerard.
It's such an unnatural name.
Just call him Christopher Gerard.
Chris Gerard. But
that's his shoot hoot.
Yeah, I would like them to get back into the picture. Danny Burch is good as well.
The ultimate backhanded compliment.
It is, but I'd like to see them get back into the picture. This was fine.
So this is a squash. They got the French Canadians to tap out while Oney had a single leg crab on Parker, and Burch had a cross face on Martel, and they do the Imperium pose after the match. So I guess we are getting Imperium versus the 1-2s, which I am perfectly okay with.
Yep.
So Keith Lee does an interview backstage. This is what you mentioned about him talking about who films himself eating dinner. And he said he's tired of the new Gargano family. And at TakeOver, he will knock some sense back into Johnny Wrestling. So here we are. Matt Riddle backstage. He says that his knockout or tap out some rule makes perfect sense to him. But there's only one thing that would make more sense. We got to have it in a cage. So next week, it is Matt Riddle versus Timothy Thatcher. Knockout or tap out only inside of a cage.
I'm in.
Yeah. Kushida taking on Drake Maverick.
I'm sorry I enjoyed this.
The funny thing is, it wasn't even you who sent the tweet. It was me.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, basically this entire match was Kushida destroying Drake Maverick's arm, and Drake Maverick just kept fighting and scratching and
clawing. He fell for the bullshit.
And it finally ended when Kushida landed an armbar off the top rope, but Drake Maverick was able to lock his arms together and shift the momentum and schoolboy Kushida up.
I thought it was a good match and a great finish.
Yeah,
it
totally good.
And if this is the it for Drake and the company. Oh, it's not, but if it is...
It's not, but if it is.
I mean, this is the last... This is a good way to go out.
Yeah, it told a good story.
Something tells me he's going to win next week.
I mean, it wasn't fucking Gotch and Hackenschmidt, but it told a good story.
Yeah, I mean, Kushida's probably the best light heavyweight in the world. Drake's Maverick's right there.
It made Kushida only look like... I mean, the finish made Kushida look like an absolute geek, but...
Now you have to have that in wrestling sometimes.
He pretty much dominated the match, so...
I thought it was good. I apologize for liking it, because I got us into a fight on Twitter.
It wasn't a fight. It was just some fucking AEW bootlicker.
Some fucking elite drone.
So then Jake Atlas comes out, and Byron Saxton, who apparently is the liaison to the general manager of NXT, says that next week it will be a triple threat match. Atlas, Kushida, Drake Maverick. Winner faces Phantasma. So who's it going to be? Tell me now.
Kushida.
I agree.
Kushida.
Drake Maverick's
going to have the victory wrapped up, and Kushida's going to steal it from him.
Oof. So the main event, Io Shirai taking on Rhea Ripley. This match pissed me off so much, because for the second week in a row, they were having a great match. Then we had a bullshit double DQ. There are other ways you could fucking set up a three-way than doing this two fucking weeks in a row.
I think they were both good, but he didn't need them, both of them.
Yeah, they were both...
They were fine.
Yeah, it's just... But what we were talking about, of course, is Charlotte Flair came out, attacked both women, so we're assuming we get a three-way at TakeOver in Your House. I really liked the match until the finish, and I wouldn't have hated the finish if they didn't do the same thing with Io and Charlotte.
Yeah, I would have loved the finish if they didn't do it last week. But they, Rhea's, it's glad to see Rhea wrestling again.
Yeah.
It's, she's probably the best women's wrestler on Wednesdays. If you don't count Charlotte.
Well, I count Io. I think Io is better than Rhea.
Fair enough.
I think Io is better than Charlotte, honestly.
I'm under the opinion that Charlotte's the best ever. So I really can't say she's better than her right now. Charlotte could put a good match with anybody. So could Io, but...
I'll say... Under the WWE restrictions, you're probably right, but you take the chains off, Io Shirai will out-wrestle Charlotte.
Fair enough.
But under the WWE system, you might be right.
But if Charlotte had 2 months out of the WWE system, do you think she'd adapt?
Probably.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
She's a freak of an athlete.
But she doesn't.
She's probably the best athlete in the company. Like, if you know,
I think that's Tez.
That could be too, but she's up there.
She's up there.
She's up there.
Yeah, for sure. So that's NXT. So it is time for MVPs and pick a show that won for the week.
MVP for AEW is Sammy Guevara. My NXT MVP is Dexter Lumis.
Has to be.
Because he put on a good show, and even in defeat, he choked Roddy out. My overall MVP is... is Arn Anderson.
Wow.
Because I think that he was never known to be a promo. He was never known to be a good promo, and he was, and I just don't want to see that match. AEW, the better show.
I agree. AEW won for the week. My AEW MVP is Hangman Adam Page for fucking running 100 yards and hitting a clothesline and not even being gassed somehow.
Great Muta did it better.
Great Muta never ran that fucking damn far. He ran a full length of the football field and, like, didn't even show signs of being gassed. I can only dream of being in that kind of shape.
I can do that.
You can't even get to the fucking bag of Cheetos without being gassed, bud.
You think all fat people eat Cheetos?
Yeah, I do.
It's been years since I've had Cheetos. Absolute years.
That's surprising.
I eat chicken parmesan.
My NXT MVP is also Dexter Lumis with Cameron Grimes as an honorable mention, even though he did nothing, but it's always Grime time.
You do love that motherfucker.
How do you not? He's got a shitty little hat. He's got great music. He has a great catchphrase. And his finish is called a cave-in. What is Nero like?
Nothing.
And my overall MVP is I thought Brody Lee had a very good week and cut a great promo.
Yeah, he got a great promo, yeah. But, yeah, I just, he's just, he bores me.
And AEW wins.
AEW is a better show.
So, when we come back, we will talk about the results of the final half of the first round of the Mean Guy Classic Numero Dos. Bigger, badder, meaner. So stick around. But always remember, nobody is meaner than Tamina. It's the Mean Guy Classic number 2. Bigger, badder, meaner.
Good impression there.
No, it's not. It's an awful Vince. It's an awful Vince. I can't do a Vince.
Yeah, I can't do any impressions. I wish it was one talent I wish I had. Because I think I'd be funny then, and I'm not, as the listeners know. But, of course, we had the second half of the first round of the Mean Guy Classic 2, Bigger, Better, Meaner, with the Bomb region and the Senton regions going off today, as the Lariat region and the Chop region were already decided last week. So now, let's fill in the second round. Vader defeated Barry Windham by a score of 84-16%. Any thoughts?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading a very bad take.
So you're on Twitter.
Yeah, I was. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Vader defeated Barry Windham 84-16%.
Not surprised.
No, I thought it'd be more, actually. Junkyard Dog defeated the 8 seed Scott Norton as you fall in dismay.
I'm very upset about this one.
But that's also not surprising. He won. He blew him out, though, 67-33.
I know. Like, where the fuck is all our New Japan fans at?
Scott Norton's a pretty mean guy.
Very mean guy.
He has a spot in the Mean Guy Classic 3, the bigger, the baddest, the meanest. Undertaker.
If that's the best tagline we got, we're not even having a fucking another one.
Undertaker defeated Yokozuna by a score of 96%-4%.
Not the result, but the margin surprised me. Yeah. I thought Yoko could at least pull 10%.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Taker was winning that.
Oh, yeah. I had no doubt, but...
Meng defeated Iron Sheik by a score of 54%-46%.
Got that one right.
Yeah, that was... Iron Sheik wasn't winning, but that was closer than I thought it would be. Haku literally bit a guy's nose off once. Psycho Sid defeated Big John Studd by a score of 61%-39%.
Not shocked.
Stabbed the man with a pair of scissors. Very mean. And the biggest upset so far today is the 14 seed One Man Gang defeated Abdullah the Butcher by a score of 56%-44%.
That one kind of shocked me.
I thought Abby would get it
the first round.
Me too. But surprising. That's what we're here for. It's what I believe to the people. And what I picked, I think you picked it too. Yeah,
this is my upset special. Although this was posted after Dark Side of the Ring aired, so yeah. I thought maybe Hawk might get like
some sympathy votes.
I don't know if you could call it a sympathy vote, but
you know what I mean. Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
Push. Abyss defeated Hawk, 61% to 44%. 49%? No. 34%. I don't know why I wrote 44. I'm an idiot. 39. Never mind. 61% with a vote.
Quit while you're ahead.
With 61% vote, Abyss won. And then Bruiser Brody defeated King Kong Bundy, 61% to 39%. So now we're into the round of 32. To get to the main 16, Vader will take on Junkyard Dog. Who do you got?
Oh, Vader, JYD? I got Vader.
Me too. Taker and Meng.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a close one.
Probably Taker. Probably.
I would say Taker as well.
I'd like to see Meng pull it off, but probably Taker.
Psycho Sid and One Man Gang.
Sid.
Sid moves on as well. Abyss or Bruiser Brody?
This might sound crazy, but I could see Brody getting bounced.
Me too. But I think he still pulls through for one more round. Because then he would get Sid in the next round. So, moving over to the Senton region. The internet, you came through for me. Kevin Owens defeated Evil Uno on a score of 95% to 5%. I was a little worried about that one. What about you? Any words?
I mean, I figured Owens would win. I don't know. That 95% of the vote, goddamn.
Karrion Kross defeated Sheamus 54% to 46%, in which a mashup that was very close for a while.
Sheamus was hanging in there for a couple of days.
Sheamus is a mean guy.
Then Kross pulled away like this morning and did not look back since.
Yes, so I'm good. Good on that. Nice matchup for the second round there.
Yeah.
Yuji Nagata defeated Joe Coffey by a score of 57% and 43%. Another extremely close one for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of people came out for NXT UK's Joe Coffey.
Yeah.
Lance Archer defeated Dominik Dijakovic.
Now you're disappointed about that one.
I'm not disappointed. I'm surprised it's this close.
Yeah.
By a score of 52% to 48%.
Everybody dies.
I'm surprised it's this. I was really surprised it's close. Another upset. That surprised me a little. Rhino defeated Jacob Fatu, 64% to 36%.
Jacob Fatu is your ringer. It was your idea to put in here.
Is that not knowing who Jacob Fatu is, Pop, for Twitter?
Maybe everyone's just a big Rhino mark.
I don't think so.
Maybe people like Terry.
I don't know. Rhino is pretty mean. He can't lift his arms above his fucking head. And that's the prerequisite for the Mean Guy Classic.
He's a freezer.
He's a literal
freezer.
He's a tank. But
Look at this matchup we have in the next round. God damn.
Jacob Fatu is phenomenal. No abscess against him. He's outstanding.
Agreed.
Tomohiro Ishii defeated Ivar, 67% to 33%. Pretty run of the mill there.
Yeah.
We're going to skip that one, this next one. Samoa Joe defeated Killian Dane, 94% to 6%. Not surprised there. So, the one we skipped, 10-seed Luchasaurus versus 7-seed.
The one we Sheffielded.
I hate you. I was thinking Gary Sheffield for a minute. I don't know.
I stole that joke from Up, Up, Down, Down, Uno. Whenever someone plays a skip card, they call it a Sheffield.
That's funny.
And it took Cesaro's own to start. It took everyone else like 3 episodes to realize what he meant.
I love Cesaro.
Now they always say yip yip yip. What to do every time he plays skip.
But 7-seed Shingo Takagi took on 10-seed Luchasaurus, and they fucking tied.
It's a goddamn tie. First time in 2 years that we've had a tie in the Mean Guy Classic.
It almost happened 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. It was 50-50, but I forget which matchup it was though.
So we were all talking about.
It was Togi and Moose. That's what it was.
We were all talking about what do we do in an event of a tie. Well, I think the only fair thing is the two of us haven't voted yet. So we still have 2 votes to cast. If it still ends in a tie after that, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do.
But we'll go out to the public. I am voting for Shingo.
As am I. He's the current Never Open Weight Champion, which is the Mean Guy title.
And you know what? If Luchasaurus didn't cool off like the inside of a Hot Pocket,
That's not where you want to go at first, is it?
Yeah, Luchasaurus has cooled off incredibly the last year. His mystique is gone to me. And Shingo has the Mean Guy title, so we're going Shingo.
Fair enough. So Shingo Takagi advances. And who is he taking on in the second round?
Well, we'll go from the top to the bottom first. Kevin Owens and Killer Cross, Karrion Kross.
I'm not going to make the same mistake I said and say Killer Karrion Kross.
You're taking Cross?
Oh, no, Kevin Owens is going to win.
Kevin Owens, the returning champion, people goes on to the main 16?
Oh, yeah.
Yuji Nagata and Lance Archer.
Archer's
I think Archer wins by a lot. Rhino and Tomohiro Ishii.
Ishii's going to win.
I think so. I think the magic runs out for old Terry.
It's going to be just like his run for Congress.
Shingo and Samoa Joe.
Oh, my God. I want to see that mashup.
I would love... That's a lot of forearms. That's just a lot of forearms, and someone definitely got a concussion.
I am going Samoa Joe, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
You know what? I'm going Shingo. Shingo wins. I think Shingo wins, so... we'll know the entire Mean 16 field next week. Because now I will post the entire round of 32.
Didn't we got stiff 16 last year? Isn't that what he said?
It might have been the stiff 16.
What do you like better, mean 16 or stiff 16?
The mean 16.
We'll go mean 16 then.
Then we'll have the mean 16 next year.
Next year.
Week. Fuck. Next week. And because look out for the polls. Thank you all for voting.
Yeah. So coming up next, we will preview the big matches for this Saturday night's Double or Nothing pay-per-view event. So,
which I'm excited. It's been a while since they've had a pay-per-view.
It's been a while.
That's Aaron Lewis.
It is Aaron Lewis.
Yeah, with Stained.
Canceled.
Yeah, bitch.
See ya after the break. AEW's Double or Nothing pay-per-view takes place this Saturday, tomorrow if you're listening on release day. On May 23rd at Daly's Place and TIAA Bank Field.
Which is just next door.
Which is, basically attached to it.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida. So, we have 9 matches announced for the show as of right now.
Well, one I think is definitely going to be changed at least, or if not canceled.
I would probably lean towards canceled.
Canceled?
That would be my assumption. But let's start with the buy-in match, their version of the pre-show.
At least it's not a goddamn battle royal.
A number one contenders match to determine the number one contenders for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Private Party, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn, taking on the best friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent.
I think Private Party gets a win.
I do. You know what? I'm going best friends.
You're going best friends?
They've been featured during this like whole pandemic thing. I think they give them a bone.
They have to add a new team in there. So I think Private Party will take this and face Hangman and Kenny Omega.
I'm going besto friends.
Okay, next match.
Dustin Rhodes taking on Sean Spears. This match was set up on the Sean Spears News Network. Yes, that's a thing. Where Sean Spears just basically called out Dustin Rhodes.
He did the Randy Orton thing from 2003.
He did.
It's the same thing.
Except he wasn't rehabbing an injury.
Yeah, and he's even too boring to be a newscaster. If Dustin Rhodes doesn't win, I'm done watching wrestling.
Well, I'm sorry, but Dustin isn't
going to
win.
Dustin's going to win.
His role is to put over younger talent and...
Well, he's not young!
I know, but he's younger than Dustin.
So is everybody!
Okay, well...
No, Sean Spears, you don't deserve to win. Go home, go back to gambling, you piece of shit.
Jesus.
I hate that man.
I don't know why.
He's boring, that's why. Yeah, he could do that. A hand movement was more over than he'll ever be. Jeez. Go back to developmental for 9 years, you prick.
Where is this coming from?
I never liked him, you knew that.
Yeah, but I thought it was just, you always said he always a solid hand.
He's a solid hand, but he's wrestling my favorite wrestler ever. I gotta stand for Dustin here.
All right, if, and a big if it happens, Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander.
Britt Baker.
Me too, but I don't think this one's going down. I don't think this one's happening.
Hopefully we won't have terrible news by then.
Yeah. MJF with Wardlow taking on the man from the jungle, who is not a man. He's, in fact, a boy. Jungle Boy.
Jungle Jack Perry. I'm going Jungle Boy.
Me too.
I think Jungle Boy, I think this is going to be, I'm looking forward to this match the best.
So
I think Jungle Boy gets the win.
So they've been keeping MJF super strong. I think we're at the point where MJF could lose this match and it wouldn't hurt him at all.
Especially, in it'll bolster Jungle Boy.
And I think Jungle Boy and MJF could be a rivalry that this company feeds off of for years and years to come.
I also think MJF whining about a loss is better than him celebrating one. If that makes any sense. It's better TV.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think Jungle Boy gets the win. I'm surprised you went there.
I'm surprised you went there.
Yeah.
I thought you were going MJF.
No, I'm going Jungle Boy.
Up next, a no DQ, no countout match for the AEW Women's title. Nyla Rose defends against Hikaru Shida. Who you got
and
why?
Hopefully it's quick. And
why? Well, I think both these two are actually two of the best workers ever in the division. I do,
but it doesn't need to be 20 minutes.
I'm also going Nyla Rose. Too early to take the strap off of her. I think Nyla Rose retains. And we'll see where they go from there. Up next, let's go to this big clusterfuck. A casino ladder match for the AEW World title. For a future AEW World title shot.
So many fucking people in this match.
Two men will start every 90 seconds, I believe. Or maybe it's longer. A new person enters. The match can end before everyone gets in if someone grabs the poker chip before all 9 men get in.
It's like the opposite of War Games.
It's going to be... This could be either great or the most clusterfuck thing ever.
Oh, this is going to be a clusterfuck. I can guarantee you that.
So we got Darby Allin versus Colt Cabana versus Orange Cassidy versus Rey Fénix versus Scorpio Sky versus Kip Sabian.
If Fénix is okay.
Versus Frankie Kazarian versus Luchasaurus versus TBA. So first of all, who is your mystery man? And don't steal mine because I already told you who mine is. And who's winning the match?
Mike Tyson. No, but no. You know what? Chris had a good thing saying it might be Cody.
That would be such a cop out if they did that.
Jeff Cobb.
Yeah?
Jeff Cobb.
Well, I'm...
He's not winning, but it's going to be Jeff Cobb.
Well, who's winning?
Scorpio Sky.
I'm going Darby Allin as the victor. And Brian Cage will be the mystery man. Brian Cage.
Fucking.
Or Sting.
If it's Sting, I'm turning it off. Has Sting ever even wrestled in a ladder match?
Probably in TNA. King of the Mountain matches, which are reverse ladder matches.
Oh my God, exactly what I want to see is a 63-year-old Sting get in the ring with Orange Cassidy.
So the tournament final for the inaugural AEW TNT Championship. Cody with Arn Anderson and Brandi Rhodes taking on Lance Archer with Jake Roberts with Mike Tyson as the special enforcer / belt presenter.
Who you got? Slash puncher.
/ I'm going to knock someone out. Who you got and why? This is a hard one to predict.
Oh, it's going to be Cody.
You think so?
I think it's going to be. Something weird is going to happen. It's going to be Cody.
Just for the sake of disagreeing on something, I'm going to go Archer.
How surprised would you be if it's Cody?
Not surprised at all.
Archer should win, but I don't think he's going to.
I think this is one that can legitimately go either way.
Yeah.
Depends. Like, if they want Cody to establish his title, I could see them going that route. Or if they want Cody to keep chasing and keep getting screwed,
They're not going to do a non-finish because this is going to follow with a non-finish. So, someone has to be the winner.
Up next, the Stadium Stampede match. Matt Hardy and the Elite, Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson, taking on the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz in a Stadium Stampede match. Who got and why?
The Inner Circle. I think the Elite explodes.
Inner Circle. You know what? Also, just to be different, I'm going to say the Elite will win, and then Hangman will turn after they win.
This is happening tomorrow, right?
I don't know.
I mean, I
maybe they keep dragging
preliminary, it. I think their plan would have been War Games. What was their War Games? Blood and Guts.
Well, I think they probably try to drag this on until they have Blood and Guts.
That's possible, too.
But who knows?
I'm going the Inner Circle, though.
I'm going to go the Elite, and then Hangman turns after the match. Just to be different than you, because all of our picks have been similar, so.
I mean, we agree a lot on this.
Yeah.
We disagree a lot on this.
Well, we disagree on the ladder match. We disagree on Cody and Archer, and we disagree on this.
Dustin and Sean,
but the pre-show. We do.
I'm surprised you picked Jungle Boy.
I mean, it doesn't make sense for him not to win.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that's true. And now here we go.
Main event time, Jon Moxley versus Brody Lee. Singles match of the AEW World title. Who you got and why?
Mox, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way. They can't hot potato this belt, so I'm going Mox.
I agree. Mox has to win.
But I don't think Brody could lose either. Either way, Mox is walking out of this with the fucking title.
We are going to see what they think of Brody Lee. If they think he's a legitimate main event player, maybe they'll do some kind of schmoz. But if he's just a guy who's challenging for a pay-per-view because we're in a pandemic and we don't got anyone else right now, then Mox will just beat him.
Yeah.
But I will say, I got to give credit to AEW because literally almost every pay-per-view they've had something catastrophic thrown at them. First Double or Nothing, Pac pulls out like a week before the show. All Out, Mox gets MRSA again like a week before the show. And now this, a fucking pandemic caused them to just have to change everything. And I've enjoyed the build to the show, and I think this will be a fun show. So what is your excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 for Double or Nothing 2020?
A 9.
I'd agree. I'm right there, too.
I'm always excited for wrestling pay-per-views, and there's a lot on this that I'm really looking forward
to. And I'm morbidly curious about this casino ladder match. Me too. I really need to see
Like, I'm not going to lie, unbiasedly, it has a chance to be awful.
Yeah.
It has a chance to be just god-awful.
It's going to be either incredible or the shits and nothing in between.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. And I also want to see I also want to see if Mean Guy Classic alumni Jeff Cobb gets in or fucking Man Mountain Brian Cage gets in. If it's neither of those, who do you think it is?
I guess Gulak, if it's neither of those. But I don't think they would change their whole booking for something that literally just became available.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or they would. I don't know.
I don't know. But, yeah, that's Double or Nothing. So... that's our show for the week. We're going to come back, give everyone's plugs, and then we will get out of your hair, and we'll be back next week with a review of Double or Nothing. Thanks for tuning in this week. Make sure you go and follow everyone on Twitter. Mondays is Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio with Gil. You can find him at Kuda_Jr. Tuesdays or Fridays until this pandemic is over, it's us at Champions Pod. Follow us. Check us out. Wednesday is Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio with at Bearded Chris P. He will have the hookup for all of your Impact stuff and just his takes on wrestling in general.
Absolute great guy. Listen to him.
Yes, please. Please, please, please. And Thursday, it's the Rundown with at Ron_Musto_Jr. and at Lins Beyond X. And make sure you check out Ron's Twitch. I forget what it is already, so I apologize.
We'll post it on our...
We'll figure it out. And check out Lins's Etsy shop, which I also forget what it is, but we'll post the link. Hell of a job I'm doing plugs. And make sure you follow the entire network at TT_for you. And we will see you right back here next Friday afternoon for our Double or Nothing review. And who knows what else will happen in the week to come. So,
Something will probably happen in the next hour.
Yeah.
So going on our history.
Stay tuned and join us next week. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Peace.